Okay, well, we are trying again. I'm sorry if you might be tuning in. I apologize for the inconvenience. I am trying something different. I've turned off my Wi-Fi on my phone. I'm trying the cellular data, which I don't know if it'll work. I've never done that before. I am seeing some information, Rachel, as opposed to nothing. When it's not working, I just have zeros. Excuse me. And I am seeing something happening now.
So
it's kicking in? Okay. My apologies. We learned that during the prayer, we lost the connection. It's kind of slow. I'm using my cellular data instead of my Wi-Fi on my phone. And I don't know how that'll work. We've never done it before. I guess it's working properly now. It is a good test because as we go back to church, Lord willing, in the near future, we'll probably still try to broadcast for anyone who may not be able to come yet. And we won't have Wi-Fi at the church, so using the phone, hopefully this will work. So it seems to still be working?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Mr. Maxwell said so. Okay. My apologies once again. This lesson is on patience today. We've never had this many problems, so it'll set us up well for the text. But before we go to the text, Lord willing, we'll be able to sing and stay together. Turn with me to Psalm 40, please. Psalm 40 on page 83. Well, again, we're called upon to wait patiently. We're studying patience today. And verse 1 of our text says, I waited for the Lord God and patiently did bear. That's the idea of patience, is forbearance, bearing under. We'll remember with the Greek, and bearing with one another, and bearing under what the Lord brings to us in providence, including our technical difficulties today. Rather than quitting, we're going to just try to keep going. And that would be an example of patience while trying to do that without fretting and getting upset. I'm mindful the camera's on me. I don't want to get impatient. But I want to turn your attention down to the end of this section of the psalm where it talks about verse 6 and 7. No sacrifice did you desire, but a body you've prepared for me. As it's quoted, my ear was born, but as it is quoted in the letter to the Hebrews, a body you've borne. It's talking about the sacrifice. This last part is specifically messianic about Jesus Christ. It goes on to be in the next section of the psalm, to do thy will I take delight. I didn't refrain from preaching your righteousness in the great congregation. That's all specifically clearly about Jesus too, we know from the New Testament. So he's our example, because for Jesus to face the cross and to not run from the cross when his humanity, though without sin, asked, is there any way out of this? That took patience. When he could have destroyed everyone, he could have called legions of angels down on Pontius Pilate. He didn't. He waited upon the Lord patiently. Per Isaiah 53, he didn't open his mouth, he didn't complain, he just bore under and took it, and then he bore the cross, and then he faced the cross, and he bore the judgment of God on our behalf. That took unbelievable patience. That took supernatural patience. Well, the Lord gives us patience through his Holy Spirit, too, and calls upon us, so may we sing that we will wait upon the Lord patiently and trust that he will deliver us, knowing that Jesus was patient, and that's how he delivered us. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 7. Da, 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 da. Actually, hey guys, would you mind bringing this to Mommy in the baby's room so she can follow along? Thanks. Da, 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 da. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently he did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. He put a new song in my mouth, our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear, and on the Lord rely. Oh, blessed is the man whose trust upon the Lord relies, respecting not the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. O Lord, my God, full many are the wonders thou hast done. Thy gracious thoughts to us word far above all thoughts are gone. In order none can reckon them, to thee if them declare and speak of them, I would they more than can be numbered are. No sacrifice nor offering didst thou at all desire. Mine ears thou bored, sin offering thou, and burnt didst not require. Then to the Lord these were my words, I come, behold, and see within the volume of the book it written is of me.
Amen. Well, beloved, we now turn to James chapter 1 to have our sermon on patience. And I trust the Lord is using our difficulties this morning to prepare us for the message, though they're not horrible tribulations. Nonetheless, it's a lot of times it's the little things that can cause us to be impatient. So I want to say, I'm going to record with my audio just in case we lose it again. I'll make sure to record it so we at least can put it up later as MP3 if we miss it together. Looks like we're still working okay, though. Yeah? Okay. So we turn to James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. And before I open up the scripture and preach for you, I did want to say why we're going here today. First, I wanted to let you know that I am doing a lot of work on the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And I've made a lot of progress. I almost thought I would preach it today, but there are a few things that I just want to give a little more time to massage the nuances and make sure I feel like I can answer certain things that might be left unsatisfactory to you in detail, although on the whole, I think we're ready to go with it. I've been doing a lot of extra reading, going back to my eschatology class books and some other books I've gotten. And what I would like to do, actually, before I go on, I might mention this again when I get to the Olivet Discourse, but what I'd like to say is actually all the commentaries, when you get to this text, they say this is probably the hardest text to interpret, and it is probably the most debated text of the Bible. At least I want to throw that out there to you to say why I think I just want to spend extra time. There's a lot of different things that could be talked about. I'm trying to sort the details and determine what I need to spend time and what I don't, and really trying to make sure I understand how to best organize things. That being said, I wanted to make you aware of a book that I say, if you only have one book on end times theology, the Doctrine of the Last Days, which is what the Olivet Discourse is really talking about, when is the temple going to be destroyed? But then on top of that, related to it, although not conflated as the disciples think in their question, when is your second coming and when is the end of the age? He talks a lot about it. And so this book, I remember hearing on the radio years ago, Hank Hanegraaff interviewing this man, Kim Riddlebarger, who is a Lutheran minister in California. He's on Michael Horton's White Horse Inn radio program. He wrote an amazing book. I heard an interview. I got it. And if I was teaching eschatology, this would be a required book for seminary. And if you only have one book on eschatology, that is on the end times, I highly recommend this book. I've read a lot of different books, and this, I think, covers things so thoroughly but so helpfully, and it covers just about anything you can think of, but it's called A Case for Amillennialism. So I do believe the scriptures, what is called amillennialism, properly teaches end times theology, and he has a whole chapter here on the Olivet Discourse. And it's excellent. It has helped me a lot to be able to organize my thoughts and think about how to give you an organized and helpful message. I'm relying on him a lot. Not only, I also highly recommend books by William Hendrickson, More Than Conquerors, which is on Revelation. We use that in our Revelation study. Also, lectures on The Last Things. He's got a chapter on the Olivet Discourse. His commentary on Matthew, which I am using for my library, is very helpful too. But I got to tell you, I think this is just so excellent. If you don't have anything else, have this book as my recommendation for End Times Theology, A Case for Amillennialism by Kim Riddlebarger, and he has an excellent chapter on the Olivet Discourse. Hopefully we'll get there soon, but as I've been working and wrestling through it all, I thought I really need to recommend this book. And you may, if you get it, hopefully I'll be preaching on it before you get the book, but if you do want to get it and you read through that chapter especially, he has a nice section on the Daniel prophecies that do relate to the Olivet Discourse. You might want to try to read that ahead of the sermon. If we do go back to church next week, I may want to think about some other sermon texts just to celebrate that, and there could be another delay of a week or two, but otherwise, I'm pretty sure I'll try to preach it next week. Anyways, thanks for bearing with that kind of rather long interruption there, but I wanted to just let you know that I am working hard on it, and it's such an important text and such a difficult text, I want to give it just a little more extra study than I usually do for the sermons, as I have been. The other reason we're coming to James, I've been thinking about something else that would be helpful for us, I think, to meditate on and devote ourselves to as we are going through this pandemic situation with the coronavirus. And so I'll mention more about that after the text, but let's turn our attention to James chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And I particularly have verse 4 in view for the sermon today. Let me repeat that. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Well, last week, as I had a delay to give more attention to preparation for the Olivet Discourse sermons, we talked about two things that would be helpful to get through our pandemic situation. The need to learn the art of submitting and the need to learn the art of waiting. Submitting and waiting is something that I had been thinking about. Boy, I think we as Christians need to give extra attention to and extra effort for growing in. Both submitting and waiting, remember we learned, show and produce strength. But there's something else that waiting and submitting require and produce and perfect. That's what we'll study today as we've been getting ready for it. Patience. Patience. Patience is so very much related to waiting, especially. And often we're going to see that patience is connected to waiting in many scriptures. Let's review the Greek word for patience, hupomene. We studied that a lot in our series on Revelation a while back in chapter 1, also dealing with some difficult times. We saw a really wonderful sermon at that time by another man that was very helpful and really drew out the meaning of hupomene. Hupomene means to bear under the pressure. Patience means to be having something on your shoulders and carrying it. It means to be bearing with the weight of something heavy. Hupomene. Patience is that. Patience is not folding. Patience is holding on. Patience is holding fast. And that's what we're told to do in Revelation chapters 1 through 3 to the churches of Asia. In the tribulation, as we are in difficulty, they're told to hold fast. They're told to hold on, to overcome. And that's what patience involves. John is writing to the persecuted church in tribulation, as James is here. And in Revelation 1, verse 9, John says, I'm writing to you as a brother, a companion, in the kingdom. The kingdom has come in Christ. In tribulation. First he says tribulation. We're in the tribulation now between the first and second coming of Christ. More on that in the Olivet Discourse. but I'm also a brother with you in the patience of Jesus Christ. Tribulation, kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ. To be in the kingdom of Jesus Christ is to have patience, because we're waiting for the second coming, the return of Christ. We're waiting for the resurrection. We're waiting for justice and judgment day, and we have to wait a long time. And that waiting takes patience. Now remember John himself when he's writing and he says to have hupomene, patience, companion in patience. He's saying, I'm a companion and brother with you, and yet he's in exile on the Isle of Patmos, separated by the sea, which is why an image later where there'll be no more sea is very significant for John as an image of restoration. But he is suffering. He is dispersed. He is scattered abroad and on his own in isolation, in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And he's talking about the need to be patient in the kingdom and in the tribulation. So here in verse 1, we see that James himself is a servant, and to be a servant requires patience. You're taking care of the needs of someone else rather than your own. You are often forfeiting or at least delaying your own interest and needs for the sake of serving someone else. That requires patience. But he's also writing to other servants, that is, Christians, fellow Christians in Jesus Christ. They are dispersed. The Greek word is diaspora, or as we have here, scattered abroad. The 12 tribes of Israel, notice that connection to the Old Testament, speaking to the New Testament church, spread out all over. And they had been before Christ came, but the church often goes through difficulties, and God lets those difficulties scatter the church so that it spreads out and takes root in other places and then grows the gospel in the church. But it isn't easy. They're in foreign places, and perhaps they feel deserted. Perhaps they feel isolated. Perhaps they are tempted to be downcast and defeated. Instead, James says, you are called by your difficult circumstances that have you cast abroad, separated from one another. You are called to be joyful about it. You're called to be joyful by those very circumstances that you might allow you to be discouraged and depressed. You're supposed to let them cause you joy because it has the opportunity for you to grow. Verses 1 and 2, he says, count it all joy, rejoice over your difficulties, over your being dispersed apart from one another. Because this dispersion is meant to develop you, he says. It's meant to develop you, in particular, in patience. Just like Christ's testing in the wilderness, tough times are to test your mettle. Tough times are to show your stuff. Tough times build your character and your endurance if you handle it with patience. Look at verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that thy trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. You see, testing, the difficulties of trials, separation, uncertainties that cause us to have to submit to God's providence, cause us to have to wait upon him, perhaps for a long time, like Joseph, we've been studying in the morning texts of our worship services. Testing provides the opportunity to become proficient and even a professional in patience, bearing under. The need to have patience develops you to be patient. And patience proves you as a person, but patience also improves you as a person. So it's an opportunity to grow, James says. And who does not need to grow in patience? Patience and having difficulties that make you have to exercise patience makes you able and more able to handle anything and to handle yourself through everything in the way you do. Consider this. Luke chapter 21, verse 19. Jesus is talking about all the trials that you're going to go through. And it's a parallel text, actually, to our text we're going to get to in Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse. It says you're going to go through all kinds of suffering and tribulation. But he says this in verse 19 of Luke 21. Jesus says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. He's saying, you can keep control of yourself. You can keep peace within yourself through all kinds of difficulties through patience, bearing under, an ability to bear under the right way, waiting on the Lord. The Geneva Bible, old Reformation notes, say this about this verse. Though you are surrounded on all sides with many miseries, yet nonetheless be valiant and courageous and bear out these things bravely. That's patience. Bear out these things bravely. Luke 8, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. There Jesus is saying there are different kinds of people that hear the word of God and have different responses, but you're supposed to bear fruit, and you'll know them by your fruit. And you bear fruit, keeping God's word. What is the fuel? What is the source of an ability to do that? Patience. Patience is how you bear fruit. Now, we can remember any farmer needs patience, right? You have to be patient. You have to keep going back and do all these kinds of things. Then you have to do a lot of waiting on all kinds of things that are outside of your control. And you don't want to be impatient and tear something up before it is actually possibly going to bear fruit. You bear fruit by patience. Patience produces good fruit out of you and for others. Here's what patience is not. Patience is not being easily irritable. Or we might say, when we think of love in 1 Corinthians 13, patience is not easily provoked. Love is not easily provoked. Patience isn't quick to speak. It's quick to listen and understand, as James also says. Patience doesn't fret with frustration, get all worked up and distracted, as we sang in Psalm 37. Patience is not quick to quit. So often we're called on to hold fast and overcome and persevere. And you see, patience is what does that. Patience is not quick to quit. Patience stays the course. Patience completes the race. Patience finishes the job. I really appreciate what our brother Mike Delgado, he sent me a text yesterday. He's been working on fixing part of our sprinkler system at the church. And let me tell you, it's a big job. I was there yesterday for a time, and huge amount, deep amount of dirt has been dug up, and he's been learning about the different kinds of glues he needs to get two different kinds of materials to stay together. And he had it fixed, and he sent me a picture. He was so excited, and I said, great job. And then later, another picture, another part broke. You know, that can be what happens when you fix one piece. That's why we had a big car bill earlier this year. You fix one piece, and then the pressure goes to another piece that was weak but didn't have to bear it alone yet. But I love what he said to me. He said, I forget his exact words, but it's something like, he didn't say, I will not be deterred, but he said something like, I will figure this out. I'm going to watch some YouTube videos. I will fix this. God helping me. That's patience. It's not saying, forget it. I'm not going to try anymore. It's saying, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to finish the job. And thank you, Mike, because I would struggle with patience with that project, let alone an ability. That's not my ability. Patience, listen to this. Patience grows with a perspective and joyful wisdom in the process. This is the beautiful thing about patience. Because when we are struggling, feeling impatient with a moment, we stop and catch ourselves and say, God is giving this to me, using this to make me better. And it affects your ability to have a wise perspective and a joy, as James says, okay, God's working on me. He's going to make me better. He's going to make me more patient, which I need. We all need. You know, I heard someone recently share in an interview, the man being interviewed said, someone told me that I have a great power to influence other people. Or that his power is to influence other people. And he said, my response was, my power is to not be influenced by other people. And the interviewer kind of went, whoa, yeah. I mean, I kind of went, whoa, that is power, isn't it? I mean, you want to be influenced by right and godly people, but of course, Psalm 1 is saying don't be influenced by the wrong people. A lot of that is to stay away from them. But a power not to be influenced in the wrong ways, I think, is another example of patience, because there's going to always be these temptations and influences to make us act impatiently and do something, especially Satan will be trying to get us to do that. Well, I did have some fun looking through my dictionary on thoughts related to patience, if you'll bear with me, bear under as I belabor you with some quotes. But Ruskin, and I don't know who these people are for the most part, but the name is Ruskin, says this: patience lies at the root of all pleasures as well as of all powers. Let me read that again. Patience lies at the root of all pleasures as well as of all powers. He says every power and every pleasure is a fruit of the root of patience. Wow, that's a great reason to have it, isn't it? And I have to tell you, last night I didn't sleep very well. There's a number of reasons why. Sometimes I can be impatient because I feel such a need to sleep before we're going to preach. And thinking of having studied this and preparing, the Lord used the text to help me just be more able to accept the moment and the situation and be more patient than I am sometimes in that kind of a situation. And I had a greater sense of peace and joy. I said, wow, yeah, this is really powerful to be able to grow in patience. Collier says, patient waiting is often the highest way of doing God's will. Wow. We always tend to think of, we got to be doing and active and doing something and maybe be in danger of acting impatiently, but justifying it because of something we're going to get done. But sometimes he says patience is actually the greatest way, the highest way of doing God's will. Again, we're called upon by the text to be patient, be patient. Bulwer says this: patience is not passive. On the contrary, it is active. It is concentrated strength. I like that. Patience is concentrated strength. Buffin says this: never think that God's delays are God's denials. Hold on, hold fast, hold out. Patience is genius. And I like that. He says, don't think that God's delays are God's denials. That's what James is saying. Hey, you're having to wait. You're having to be tested. You're having to be separated from one another and struggle. But this is God's opportunity. As he delays, he gives you opportunity to wait on him until you deliver to grow. You know, it occurs to me we need to be careful not to say things like this. We should not say, I'm not patient like you. Don't we do that sometimes? Certain people especially say, look, I don't have patience. I'm sorry. I hear a lot of Christians say that. I don't have the patience you have in this or that situation. That's never something that we should be saying, thinking it excuses us from being patient. That's actually a confession of sin and immaturity, right? Something to repent of and seek to change from. We should never say, I don't have any patience for so-and-so, and excuse ourselves from having to try to work with that person and become more patient or with those certain kinds of situations. We should be seeing, well, certain people or certain situations that I'm very impatient with, those are the ones that God's sending me to get more patient, not avoid it. Those are opportunities to grow and rejoice for the opportunity to be more patient in those things that don't come as naturally. And this is supernatural from the grace of God. Another thing we shouldn't say is this. We shouldn't say, don't test my patience, right? Don't test my patience. That's something that we often say. Well, what is God saying here? I am testing your patience, that it would grow, that your patience would grow, and you would grow in being patient. Another quote, I don't know that I'm saying the name right, Epictetus. He says this, enter unto the sublime patience of the Lord. Be charitable in view of it. God can afford to wait. Why cannot we? Since we have him to fall back upon. Let patience have her perfect work and bring forth her celestial fruits. The two powers which, in my opinion, constitute a wise man are those of bearing and forbearing. And I think that's definitely helpful. He says, patience really are two things, bearing and forbearing. Bearing would be submitting, waiting patiently, humbly, under God's providence. And forbearing would be how we work with one another, especially our brethren. We're called upon regularly to forbear with one another. That means, you know, they're sinners too. And they need to forbear with us. And it takes a long time for us all to grow in godliness, all to grow in sanctification. And if we're going to stick together and grow together, then we need to forbear with one another. We need more patience. Gabriel. Why don't you take him, Olivia, and give him some gel? Okay, give him some gel. Verse 4 of our text. Let patience work in you as you have to endure, and you will develop an ability to persist and persevere. James is saying, if you let patience work within you, if you work to be more patient in a difficult situation, you will persist and persevere by that patience, and you will become more patient and more able to persist and persevere. Let's look at what some other things James has to say to us in application. Turn with me to chapter 5 of James, please. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. And then verses 10 through 11. Why don't we just put it all together with verse 9? James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Stablish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Happy though are patience. "Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Job needed a lot of patience, didn't he? Think about how much suffering as a type of Christ, how long he had to wait on the Lord through unbelievable suffering that you and I really don't know anything about. And we're told by James to consider the patience of righteous Job and there, be the same, be patient through our afflictions, through our difficulties, through our sufferings. And to be like Job, "I will not curse, I will praise the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him, trust in him." Well, beloved, please be patient with me. Patiently bear with the following. Now I'll share a lot of Bible verses that I hope will help us just bathe in this doctrine of patience and this practice of patience. As you sang, Psalm 37, verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." As you sang in Psalm 40, verse 1, with Christ as our example in verses 6 and following, Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." That would seem to be how we get to a better end, even if we don't start well, is by patience to get to the end. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." I have a long section for you from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 12 through 15, chapter 10, verse 36, and chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. And I'm just going to read them together. "That ye be not slothful," and I'm not quoting all of it, "be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, beloved, it was Christ's patience that helped him to face the cross. And it was Christ's patience that helped him to bear the cross. Thus, it was Christ's patience that saved your soul. And it was Jesus Christ who said to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, verses 2 to 3, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them with which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Beloved, let those words be to you, to our church, as we seek to be patient, wait upon the Lord, submit to him by his grace. He's recognizing, he sees our patience. He says to the church of Thyatira in Revelation 2, verse 1, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works
and the last to be more than the first. And he says to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. The last thing I read was Revelation 2, verse 19. Now I read Revelation 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. All the tribulation you're going through, patience, my word of patience, is what will see you through and not give in. And he says to all the churches, he says to you in Revelation 14, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What is he highlighting especially? The patience of the saints. Do you notice how often whether or not you will endure, whether or not you will be in heaven, is very much connected and related to whether you are patient, whether you have patience to bear through all these trials and become more patient and thus endure and bear under till the end and not abandon in apostasy the Lord Jesus. The patience of the saints, think about that. The P in TULIP of Calvinism is the perseverance of the saints. We might say the perseverance of the saints could be the same as or by the patience of the saints, the patience of the saints. Paul says similarly to James, patience produces a patient person. Patience produces patient people for God. Paul says in Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And I can guarantee you, if you lack patience, you will not be a person of prayer either. Romans 15, verses 4 to 7, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, just like James, is very much saying that patience perfects you by having to learn to be patient. And as you grow in perfection of patience, you will be very equipped to continue to endure and make it through all difficult things. And it makes me think of a saying that we have, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. And that's the idea of James in our text today and also of Paul. Practice makes perfect. Patience makes perfect. The phrase practice makes perfect, one dictionary online explains the meaning of that phrase we have this way. Practice makes perfect means the regular exercise of an activity or skill is the way to become proficient in it, especially when encouraging someone to persist in it. That's what James is saying. The more you do something by repetition, the more you become good at it. The more you work at being patient, the better you are at being patient. The more patient person you are, the more you're able to endure. It's like this ongoing thing. And thus, the more you become a good and better person, a good and better Christian servant, bearing under whatever difficult providences that the hand of the Lord brings upon you and calls upon you to submit to and wait through.
allow me a couple more quotes from the Dictionary of Thoughts on Patience, please. And thank you for your patience. George Horn says this: "Patience strengthens the spirit, sweetens the temper, stifles anger, extinguishes envy, subdues pride, bridles the tongue, restrains the hand, and tramples upon temptations." And beloved, that means patience is extremely good for you and extremely good for everyone else around you. William S. Plummer, I have to quote William Plummer, especially for our brother Ron Renner. He says, "Be patient in little things. Learn to bear the everyday trials and annoyances of life quietly and calmly. And then, when unforeseen trouble or calamity comes, your strength will not forsake you." Well, that's really where we need to start, the little things, the regular things. Isn't it the littlest things where we so easily lose our temper? The things that just the annoyances when we're not thinking to behave ourselves or anyone's watching, but the little things is where we need to start. Learn to be patient with them. Grow an ability to be patient with the regular things that bother us. And then you get to be where you're so strong to be patient when something really serious and significant hits and you really need the ability to endure. Don't we all lack patience? If any of you said, "No, I don't lack patience," then I would say, liar! Why are we being told to have patience and let patience grow? Because we lack it. We struggle with it. But when we build patience, when we practice patience, James says we will not lack anything. As we grow in patience, we'll be able to say with more resolve and happiness and joy, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." As James says, I won't lack anything. As we have to be patient through this pandemic, beloved, may you rejoice in your opportunity to get really good at submitting, really good at waiting, as you get really skilled at enduring, that is, really skillful at being patient, bearing under. Learn to be patient through the long lessons of patience. Let the experience cause you to be more patient. When you develop the skill of patience, you will be able to be content in all things, as Paul says, by the strength of Christ in Philippians 4:13. When you develop more patience, you will be able to rejoice. You'll be able to have the fruit of the Spirit of joy more than you do. And isn't patience something that strips away our joy? When we lack patience, we become angry and mean-spirited. When you grow in patience, you'll be able to rejoice in the process of the difficulties because you know and you begin to observe and watch and see the product that it is producing, more patience. Patience produces peace. And a peaceful person contently serving the Prince of Peace. Let patience have its perfect work, beloved. And you will discover in more wonderful ways in yourself and in what you produce for Christ and his people, how patience makes perfect. Again, we have the phrase, practice makes perfect. The message playing with that with you today is this from the text, the point of the sermon: patience makes perfect. Patience makes perfect. What are you going to do with it? Be more patient. And if you don't mind my saying, boy, was it frustrating not to have technology work today. And I haven't been always patient when I handle it in the past, and then I'm afraid that how I responded might have been recorded for you to see. Lord, help me today just to be patient with it. And I tell you what, it feels a lot better to just be able to be patient and not give up. When you're patient, you feel like, forget it, we just want to have a morning service. No, that's exactly what the devil wants. But the Lord allowed the extra testing for us to be able to object lesson right in it. And our youngest child is growing and learning how to behave. He's back here with us. He was waving at me, smiling now, you know. And there's a devil sending a temptation for me to be impatient right in the middle of the message. I want you to recognize, as you start to try to be more patient, as you start to think and dwell on it and pray about it, get ready, because the way God is going to make you more patient is to send you challenges, to send you difficulties, to test you, to help you do it and grow in it. Practice makes perfect. Patience makes perfect. Recognize the difficulties as opportunities. Count it joy and say, okay, thank you, Lord. Make me more patient and experience the process of it and enjoy it. Patience makes perfect. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do thank you for your amazing patience with us as we see all through the Bible and church history with your people. Oh Lord, we do thankful for how long you bear with us. And we do thank you for how long you help us to bear with one another. For we cause one another the temptation to be impatient. Lord, help us to look at the things where we find ourselves the most impatient, where we struggle the most to be patient. Certain people, certain situations where we tend to flare up, where we tend to want to just quit or get angry. We pray, Lord, that you help us to learn, okay, I will work to be more patient and I will trust God to work it out over his timing. And I will do the right behavior and activity instead of the wrong out of impatience. Lord, protect us, for Satan will always be tempting us to be impatient. And in this moment of the pandemic, it would seem many are getting more and more impatient. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember your call upon the 12 tribes of Israel who are scattered abroad. Are we not able to identify with that? And yet we're called to rejoice and to let patience have its work and to let these works of your providence to cause us to be more patient. Lord, that you would keep developing us into more patient people, more able to endure bigger things, more difficult things that will come. Because as we learn in the Olivet Discourse, things will get worse. Love will wax cold. And there will be more and more tribulation, periods of peace. But as the birth pangs begin with the temple's destruction, coming closer to your return, the pains, the contractions will come stronger and more frequently until the climax. And so we pray, Lord, that you will help us as we go through each difficulty, each discomfort, each birth pain, each contraction, that you'll help us to endure because it makes us stronger for the next one, and to endure those and to find ourselves indeed by patience, having endured, persevered into the end. Again, we do cry out for mercy. We cry out in sadness and hatred of our sin of impatience. Forgive us for how often we try to excuse ourselves with it, even to others. Lord, let us never say, I'm just not patient, as if that's a virtue or if that's good. That's a sin to repent of. Lord, let us grow in being patient and especially recognize the tools you will use in each of our lives to development, but it is something that only comes by practice. And the practice can only come with things that would cause us to be impatient if we do not control ourselves, submit to you, and wait upon you. Lord, let us look to Jesus Christ again as the author and finisher of our faith. Oh Lord, let us indeed keep our eyes on him and remember his amazing patience, facing the cross, enduring its pain and suffering, enduring your wrath and the eternal punishment that would be ours. And we do thank you, Lord, that through his patience, we will never have to bear with your wrath and curse due to us for sin forever in eternal hell. Thank you, and let that make us much more patient, whatever we endure in the meantime, as we wait to be ushered into our Father's house in the new kingdom of heaven, in the new earth, new heavens and new earth, in your everlasting kingdom of light, where we will not really need to be called upon to have patience anymore, nor faith, nor hope, for we will be with you in perfect bliss and holy righteousness. Until that time, help us indeed by your grace, and by your means of grace, and by your Spirit, and by the blood of Christ, to hold fast and to overcome as companions in the kingdom, as companions in the tribulation, and companions in the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and all your people said, Amen. 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 Beloved, would you turn with me to Psalm 117? Page 259, before the Lord dismisses us, Psalm 117, page 259.
da 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 da. Oh, give ye praise unto the Lord, all nations that be. Likewise, ye people, all accord his name to magnify. For great to us word ever are his loving kindnesses. His truth endures forevermore. The Lord, oh, do ye bless.
Now receive the benediction again this morning, as you have recently, from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Amen. Well, we will see you at 5:30 this evening, Lord willing, on our evening broadcast. Please pray that the technology works better. Maybe I have to not use the Wi-Fi. The cellular data seemed to work okay. I don't know how long it can do that, but I do want to thank you for your patience through all of those difficulties. And you want to come say goodbye, Abraham? Yeah, okay. You want to come? Oh, Isaac would like to come say goodbye. And I think he would like to show you his new suit that mommy found at an amazing discount at Target. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Woo! $5. Can you believe it? Woo! All right. So anyhow, we love Clearance Rex, but he got a little time to grow into the two. But thanks for your patience. I know it was frustrating, surely, for you too, to have to keep clicking in and waiting, especially if you're going through the phone line. So thanks for your patience, and we'll trust the Lord is using it. But we will endeavor to have it work more smoothly tonight. If it doesn't work after one time with Wi-Fi, I'll switch to cellular again and hope that that will work okay. And Lord willing, soon we may be back face to face and no longer have to be too concerned about the technology. Have a wonderful Sabbath rest. We'll see you at 5:30 Pacific Coast time tonight. God bless you.